This program is proudly brought to you by Alan Gray, building long-term wealth for our clients since 1973.
And welcome, 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 dear listeners, wherever you find yourself, welcoming you to the special edition business and economic segment in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia that we started on last week, that specifically being here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. And this is a Wednesday edition, if you did not know where you were, obviously, that also being an indicator that if you were part of our subscription platform for the e-paper, you would have received the Wednesday edition nice and proper, nice and crispy in your direct message platform, either being on WhatsApp or in your email inbox. You would have had the opportunity to recognize that this is a Wednesday. We're halfway through this week, but be patient. And once again, welcoming the in-studio guest here for today's engagement. You would have obviously seen the social media poster. Etienne is once again back in the studio with me. Etienne, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, just a short hello so that people can also hear that you're here at least.
No, thank you, Dwight. Lovely to be back.
And then just once again, dear listeners, just let you know that during the course of today's program, obviously this being from 6 to 7 every Wednesday, wherein we have these particular discussions and also with Alan Gray giving their particular insights on our Wednesday evening programming. Now, do remember that you can listen to us on the Eagle FM application, which is free to download on the Apple platform or on the Android platform. I almost said the Google platform, but it's the same thing. As well as also listen through your conventional radio set. That's on 104 if you're in Windhoek. And obviously, if you studied some of the maps that is found on our social media about where our frequencies are distributed across the country, you can also have a listen there. And alternatively, if you listen to us through the Eagle FM website, which is just search with Eagle FM Namibia, press on the link. Remember to press the big play button, which is on the website itself, and you'll be able to listen or stream directly your favorite programming during the course of the day. That's 24 hours, obviously between Monday and Friday, and ultimately on the weekends, we've got the weekend programming. But nonetheless, enough about that. Welcoming once again Etienne to today's discussion, and obviously for the listeners out there, if you've seen the poster on the social media, it takes a very unique perspective, Etienne, and it's about client-focused. Obviously, we started with a long-term perspective last week, just so that people can understand, you know, how they need to look at specifically their futures, but also when they're making decisions that impacts them and their respective, if I can call it, their spheres of influence as an individual. But it takes another one wherein we're passing the ball and saying, listen, coming through from a client-focused perspective, you know, what would we be looking at? So obviously it might be a little bit of a philosophy, might be a little bit of an introduction, but yeah, how do we take a look at that particular dimension?
Thank you, Dwight. Yeah, I mean, if you consider what Alan Gray is, it's an investment company. So our biggest asset are the people that work, you know, for the company. Mm-hmm. We don't own buildings. You know, there are some computers, chairs, desks, and then people. Mm-hmm. So that is what we are all about. So how do you, you know, think long term, and how do you sustain that business? And I mean, it really boils down to build trust in our clients, because the people working for us, yes, that's the asset on the one hand, but then what Alan Gray as a company depend on is the support and the trust of our clients, right? So that is really what we are after, and you know, it's a core value of ours is to always consider the client. You know, so if you think what it takes to be client focused in the current days that we live in, you know, it is for me waking up every day and reminding myself that we are looking after real people's money.
Yeah.
Right? This is someone's hard-earned money. It's someone's sweat. So you have to respect it. And I think if you constantly remind yourself of that you're looking after someone else's money or someone's mother or someone's aunt, you know, then your whole attitude changes towards what you do.
Yeah, so it also helps to, I'd almost said insulate the particular approach, because it has that particular human connection. And obviously, if we factor in, like, in the 21st century, starting off, you know, from if I can call, like, the augmented needs that have started coming out, you mentioned, you know, looking after loved ones. If we look at the current picture, that also says that there's a lot of expectations that sometimes comes through. I know I'm still on that first particular point, because there is a lot of expectations. And how does someone, you know, how does the client-focused approach factor in with the expectation dimension, which is a dimension? How do they match up to each other? Because last week we had the long-term, but you can also see from the long-term approach, people say, okay, but what are my expectations? And you mentioned last week that you have education, you might marry, you might see something. And these are varying dimensions that come through from expectations. So how does it fit in with this particular insight?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question. Because, you know, when you think people entrust their money to Alan Gray, and you expect something in return for that, typically growth or preservation, you know, you don't want to lose your capital. Now, that is, you know, that is first and foremost your expectation. In reality, where we invest are in the financial markets. So whether it's in the share markets, the stock markets across the world, whether it's in the fixed income markets, you know, cash, bonds, we are unable to predict the future.
Yeah.
These markets are driven by sentiment. You know, there are some other drivers that are not in our control that drive these things. So what we can do, so we cannot guarantee a certain, you know, investment return. We cannot guarantee that our performance will always be good. History has shown over the past five decades, you know, that what we call through the cycle, if you give it enough time, you know, just piggybacking on the topic of last week, if you give it enough time, the likelihood is that you will have that financial, you know, success. The investment performance would come through. But, you know, ultimately there is no guarantee. So for us, what can we guarantee?
Yeah.
Is we can guarantee excellent client service, right? So walking their journey with the client, be there for whatever their needs might be, and give them you know, a good experience throughout this investment journey that are sometimes you know, quite volatile. So yeah, I think that was also something that stood out for me, is the fact that we cannot control the markets, but we certainly can control our client service. And if
That, Etienne. You just hold that particular thought. We're quickly going to a short ad break.
Certainly.
Time. When you're a kid, it moves slower than a sloth trying to get through airport security. There is just so much of it. Skip forward a few years to your 20s. Time is still your friend. It says have some balance. Go party and have fun. Then your 30s hit. And time suddenly steps on the accelerator like it's trying to catch a traffic light before it goes red. 40s. Now time is moving faster than your 10-year-old on a sugar high. 50. You're desperately trying to save as much as you can, but time is moving so fast. And all you can think is, where did all the time go? That's why after 50 years of investing, we've learned that time is the greatest gift of all. And the good news is, if you invest early, time gives you money, and then money gives you more time for some much-deserved you time. Now, isn't that a compelling enough reason to invest? Alan Gray, long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized FSP.
And coming back to listeners, just highlighting there specifically that between 6 and 7 every Wednesday, we, Eagle FM, in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia, we have the specific dedicated programming every Wednesday. Etienne, just where you left off with your train of thought just before the break, highlighting that specific, you know, component in terms of the question of, you know, the expectation scenario.
Yeah, so as I said, you know, it's for us, we work very hard at providing that excellent client service. And through that, we believe that we build trust with our clients. And then they understand, you know, the company better, the way we operate. And I think tied in with that is that we remain focused on doing the right thing at all times, and then stick to our investment philosophy and process. The same investment philosophy and process that Dr. Gray implemented, 50, 51 years ago when he started the business, it is we follow the exact same investment philosophy and process. A lot of other, companies, I think, proclaim to do the same. You will often, many companies will claim that they are long-term investors and they stick, to the script. But very few actually practice it. Because of, what's going on in the world, and because there's always somewhere in the world there's an event going on that influences the markets. And it's very difficult to have that courage and stick to your guns. And I think we've showcased that over the past, as I said, 5 decades, that we've been able to stick to our approach to investing, our investment philosophy process, that continuous good client service, and this builds trust with clients. And that's why we find often that those clients who choose, to invest with us typically stay for, quite a while.
And which actually feeds into the long-term aspect we started on last week.
Yep.
And obviously, when we look at things here, specifically in the Namibian component, I'm still staying on the expectation part that you highlighted there. Namibia, in its own right, it's a country that indicates various growth patterns in its own right. If someone is looking at it in that scenario, they're obviously going to go like, listen, I'd like a partner looking at education, looking at building a family, like you mentioned last week, looking at a component of how do I take my next step in life while still being knowing that there is some sense of stability that I've bought into. I want to bring the next dimension about this, Etienne, just the notion, which is like actually my next question. If we take a look that since obviously 2020, the negative in, if we can call it actually some sort of big elephant for that matter, because since 2020, obviously, the focus now for many people would be, how do we try to build better from 2020? And many people would see that it seems that there's still a great notion of uncertainty about where they find themselves in 5 to 10 years. Because obviously the long term of last week, the client focus dimensions that you highlighted just now in the first question, how can people, or let me generalize it, how can we allay the particular fears, obviously, of trying to look at what you wish to, cement in the future? How do they have to battle these particular sort of this aspect of falling back on a long term perspective, for that matter?
The reality is I mentioned this earlier. There's always some sort of a crisis somewhere in the world, which we might not, feel as if it's on our doorstep, but it has an influence on the financial markets. Now, how do you lay the fears? I think if you have a goal, if you have a plan, it's much easier to navigate choppy waters if you know where you are going, right? But if you do not have those investment goals, these saving plans in place, then it becomes very hard to stick to your guns.
Yeah.
I think COVID was an exceptional event. A lot of people suffered a lot of hardship. And in fact, it was, I think, no matter where in the world you lived, you felt it in one way or another. This was not some crisis in a foreign country where you might have had a friend that suffered some consequence. This was very much in our faces. It's only natural and, human, I guess, to have certain fears, what if this happens again? One of the things that I especially that emphasized or that I'd like to emphasize, and this is a learning from the COVID times, and it's also something that when you study, financial planning, one of the first recommendations that you make to a client is to build up an emergency fund, a contingency sort of resource that you can tap into if there is a crisis. Now, I think COVID has proven that as well. People lost their jobs or had to take salary cuts. etc. So how do you allay those fears? I think by preparing, right? By making sure that you have an investment strategy and that you invest in investment portfolios like the unit trust that we offer at Allan Gray that cater for a range of outcomes.
Mm.
If you think about it at the moment, if I may just dwell off the point slightly, there are 50 or more general elections taking place in countries all over the world. It's an extraordinary year. So we know our neighbors, South Africa, had theirs recently. The big hoo-ha that's being made about the American one that's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Actually, in the same month as ours.
That is correct.
Yeah.
It's quite an eventful time. So for us as asset managers, you now have to build portfolios that will provide a good return or good outcome, protect the capital of our investors, regardless of what happens,
yeah.
Right? So you have to prepare for certain outcomes. If Donald Trump is successful with his campaign and, you know, is elected as president, the markets would react in a certain way, and certain sectors, certain industries, the shares of those would react in a certain way. Versus when his opponent comes in, it might be a bit of a different outcome.
Mm.
So for us, we have to consider what are those shares, what are those companies that we can invest in on behalf of our clients that would still provide a good outcome, whether or not it's Trump or Harris as president. And similarly, closer to home, we consider all those factors. But the point is that we look at the future and we prepare. I almost want to say fortify our investment portfolios by looking at different scenarios. And as individual investors, we have to do the same.
Mm.
And that is why, for me, first and foremost, start with that. The textbooks would say save between 3 and 6 months' salary and put it away. Don't touch it.
I don't know which textbooks those are, because mine didn't say any of those things. But
it's easier said than done, right? And I think, how do you lay the fears? By preparing, by having a plan. It's always better that when a crisis hits, you just look at the blueprint again and look at the plan, and it will definitely give you a lot more comfort than if you were without a plan.
Yeah. If we start from, let's say, the plan starts with taking the first step, and I actually just have to let you know, it's a caller's question that they sent through the SMS line last week, but we didn't have time to obviously field it. If we factor in this particular dimension, just to that response you highlighted there, what would be the starting block, specifically with Allan Gray? What would be the starting, entry point contribution, or let's say putting away in the kitty direction or action that they would have to start on? Basically, I'm saying, what would you have to start on in terms of like a monthly contribution, just looking at putting it away for yourself?
Mm. Dwight, we offer two options.
Mm.
There's the option of investing a lump sum, a single amount. In that case, it's 20,000 Namibia dollar.
Mm.
There's also the monthly option whereby you can contribute $500 or more to your investment account.
Mm.
I think it's always wise to shop around.
Yeah.
But I think it's still at a very attractive sort of point. I would certainly hope so, whereby you can say, okay, this is my $500. If you think about it, if you are very disciplined financially, you can actually save quite a bit of money with different things. I, for one, installed a little timing device on my geyser at home, and that timing device switches the geyser on and off, so that it doesn't stay on the whole time and draw electricity. So that is one way of how I saved between $100 and $200 per month by not using electricity unnecessarily. And I think for everyone, we can find ways how we can actually, save up to have that $500 available and then commit on a monthly basis to investing in sitting you on your way to that financial. I almost want to say financial success or financial freedom, because that's freedom that you aim for.
Yeah. Well, one of the drastic measures I took specifically was disconnecting the electric stove, but switching to a gas one. I didn't know it had a... I don't want to say... Well, some of the listeners have heard the amount that I highlighted because I saw it on the bill. It was close to $1,000. And that's... It obviously depends on the size of the appliance. Everyone knows this. Now, if factoring in that specific talking point, it's not one of the questions I shared with you earlier, but obviously it speaks a lot to also an aspect of, literacy, financial literacy. I know it's a dimension that we will still talk about it in the future episodes. But if you factor this in, the discipline part, which speaks to being financially literate to an extent as well, how much of a role does having a dimension of financial literacy play a part in terms of having a dimension of being disciplined in terms of what you do with your money, how you approach to your various expectations that we started off on, and even, assisting into what Alan Gray wants to position to the said client who wishes to look at what they can look forward to in terms of their long-term engagement?
To educate yourself, I think, is extremely important. Mm. I mean, there are limits, however. One must remember that there are investment professionals out there. If I can borrow from the medical fraternity, doctors often get very upset when patients Google.
The self-diagnosis.
Visit Dr. Google and try and self-diagnose. It's actually quite dangerous.
Yeah.
Similarly, if you try and self-invest, not in all cases, but often it can be quite detrimental. Detrimental in that you could lose money, but also that you could have made more had you known what to do.
Yeah.
So I think first and foremost, from where we stand, we always prefer seeking independent financial advice.
Mm.
Right. But then we also encourage people to... There are some lovely material available on the internet these days. One must just be careful,
which ones you...
What you listen to. But then there are some... There are lovely books that were written decades ago on, for instance, on value investing by Benjamin Graham. Mm. So there is a lot that you can do to self-educate, but there's also the emotional side to investing.
Mm.
And for me, the big benefit, or one of the biggest benefits of seeking a financial advisor, is for that emotional hand-holding to give you the comfort that you are on the right track, doing the right thing. And if you are adamant that you do not want financial advice, we have very friendly and well-educated consultants at Alan Gray. We are not permitted to give financial advice. We are not registered to give it. Actually, the law doesn't make provision
permitted,
for it.
Yeah.
But what we are able to do is to share factual information.
Let's just quickly hold it there on the factual and we'll be back after the...
Imagine if you could save time like you save money. A second here, a minute there. Type a little faster, walk a little faster. Or you could stop scrolling on the internet. Just think of all the hours you'll save. Now what if you could take all that time and invest it? Watch it grow. Until eventually, one day, you'd have so much time that you wouldn't know what to do with it all. But unfortunately, time doesn't work like that. It can't be stored or banked. And unlike money, you can't make it back. That's why after 50 years of investing, we've learned that time is the greatest gift of all. And the good news is, if you invest early, time gives you money. And then money gives you more time to do whatever you want to do, even if it is scrolling on the internet. Alan Gray, long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized FSP.
And coming back from the short break right there, dear listeners, just before I pass the ball back to Etienne, just where he left off with the factual, do remember that you can call through at 083-288-401. Yeah, I mixed up my numbers. 083-288-401. That's the studio number here in studio with me. And you can ask a question But we have to keep it crisp. We have to keep it short, guys. Not the usual liberties that I allow you with in terms of, you know, our 5 minute to 7 minute engagements. Secondly, you can still send a text message to 1040. Standard rates obviously apply in terms of engaging with the SMS platform. I can read it out loud here. Let's keep it in English, dear listeners. Because obviously I'm not as proficient in all the local languages, but nonetheless. Let's, you know, try your luck. I'll try and find one or other particular translator. On where you left off with the factual, Etienne, just, highlight that part for us.
Yes, certainly, Dwight. So we cannot provide financial advice. As I said, we asset managers like ourselves are not permitted to do so. But the factual information is something that we can share. Also on the information sheets that we have available at Allan Gray, you would find some guidelines as to how to choose between the different investment portfolios that are available. Some are more geared toward the long term. Some of the investment portfolios or the unit trusts have a shorter term or could be suitable for shorter term investments as well. But yes, I think the bottom line is, if you're the unknown is often what scares us.
Yeah.
So there's lovely websites, as I said, something like Investopedia, which is the investment.
Oh, I live on that thing.
of Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And there are some lovely videos there. Actually, on the Allan Gray website, there's a section called Latest Insights. Fantastic reading material. And the best part is we will even tell you how long it takes to read. If you are willing to invest 10 minutes a day, only 10 minutes a day, to reading something new or, on this subject matter, you are already putting yourself far ahead of the next person. And that would also, you asked about the fears earlier. Mm-hmm. I think, over time, it doesn't become as scary as what it was to you initially. The whole topic of investment. So yeah, those are.
And it's probably if we also look at the aspect in terms of the allaying the fear, many of it is based upon a notion in terms of, is there adequate information that is easily accessible? Like you highlighted, you can self-diagnose, you can be Dr. Google sometimes, but it obviously also means how well trained is your eye. Many cases, I emphasize, have a critical thinking or critical analysis in your own respect when it comes to reading media articles. But would it be the same particular mindset that, someone has to basically apply when they're obviously trying to look at what are their particular demands or their particular, what they're looking for when they're going for investment? Is it the same particular thinking that we can apply?
Yeah, I think that's perhaps that more warrants a discussion with a financial planner. It's interesting. You go through different stages in your life, right? It's very different. Your financial needs at a younger age. Say you just started out with work. Typically your early 20s, not married, no children. That is a very different scenario to 10 years later, where you might be married, you might have children, etc., and where you are older, where your needs are different again. So think about it. If you're young, theoretically, you are healthier, right? So you have to spend. You can maybe get away with a hospital plan as opposed to a full medical aid offering.
Yeah.
Whereas if you are older, of course, medical care becomes critical. As I said last week, we don't have the luxury of living in a country with a huge social safety net with free medical care. You have to provide for that. So I guess it all depends. No two people are alike, and neither are your financial needs. So to explore that is first to understand what those are. And that's not always right there in front of you. And that's why I said a financial advisor, can assist you with that.
Yeah.
The good thing is also, other than investments, there's always the what we call the risk products, life insurance, dread disease cover. If you think about that, I'm not sure if it's only me, but these days you hear of younger people, you know, having
medical complications
that were typically, you know, reserved for the older people in the community. But imagine you're in a wheelchair. You know, do you have insurance cover for that? Do you have some sort of an income replacement
mechanism in place?
That would allow you to continue with life or to make adjustments to your home if you can no longer, you know, help yourself.
Mm.
So those are all very important. The good news is those type of products are a lot cheaper earlier in your life.
Yeah.
Because statistically, chances are less that you contract a disease or become critically ill. I would start off by understanding sort of general concept. Mm-hmm. Why invest? You know, mm-hmm. what's the difference between savings and saving and investing?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the products out there? Just understand the basic concepts, but then to help to craft that plan, to lay out, to draw that map of your financial journey.
Yeah.
There I would strongly recommend,
you know,
financial advice.
Which is coming back, dear listeners, to our last week, Wednesday's discussion in terms of the long, starting off with the long-term journey, because it is a mindset approach. It's not just you starting off with the first, okay, let's go learn to kick the ball, but you also need to know how to pass the ball and receive the pass. If we... Okay, we're almost about to step into what is going to be like the last third of today's program. There is one interesting particular discussion, obviously, and it comes from one of your values on Alan Gray's website itself, which is the one based upon we put our clients' interests first. I like this particular statement, Etienne, and it notes and avoid, not manage, conflicts of interest. How does this particular cascade to the value, you know, that clients would be looking at when they are primarily going for the aspect and saying, okay, I want to do investments, but like you highlighted earlier, events might happen somewhere else in the world. And these events might be the noise that they are hearing or seeing on TV and the likes. So how does that, is it the same particular analogy that we can apply, or is it an analogy that's in a different realm that someone has to look at, the layperson on the street has to look at?
In that particular value of being client focused, when we refer to the conflicts of interest, we refer more to not competing with our clients.
Mm.
As an investment company, we engage the management of companies that are listed on the stock exchanges. We get what is called inside information,
mm.
so we cannot use it. We have very, very strict policies. And we are actually tested on that. Each and every employee at Alan Gray is being tested on it annually to make sure that you understand these conflict of interest policies. The bottom line is we cannot act on information that others don't have
mm-hmm.
to put ourselves in a better financial position. We can use that knowledge in the general course of obtaining that knowledge to apply that in our portfolios on behalf of our clients.
Mm.
But it goes further than that. I mean, Alan Gray, like any other investment company, will earn a fee for managing that client's portfolio, mm. the client portfolios. And we are perhaps, we're definitely in the minority in the way we charge our fees.
Mm.
We have what is known in the industry as a performance fee structure, which kind of works both ways, meaning that there is a annual fee that an investor would pay. We deduct that within your investment fund. It's not a separate payment. Mm. It's within the fund. And how it works is we charge a fee for our services. And then every unit trust portfolio has a benchmark attached to it.
Yeah.
And that is the measure of, you know, what we try and achieve with that particular unit trust fund. Now, if we outperform that benchmark, we will share in the additional performance
mm.
by upping our fee. But similarly, and this is where, you know, some of our peers don't apply it the other way as well, is that when we underperform our benchmark, we reduce our fees.
Mm.
So this way, if we do well as investment managers for our clients, we do well in terms of remuneration as well. So we have an incentive. So what we say is our interest is really aligned with that of our clients.
Yeah.
If you are in the industry, if you're an asset manager and you charge the fixed fee, whether or not you deliver 20% growth in a year or minus 20%, you still charge the same fee.
Mm-hmm.
At Allan Gray, it simply doesn't work like that. We are probably one of the last few sort of larger asset managers that apply that principle, but it is one that we believe is the most fair way of getting remunerated. In other words, if we do well for our clients in terms of performance, we share, you know, we earn a higher fee. And if we don't, we give back, we discount our fee.
Which also factors into our discussion last week when you highlighted the aspect of particularly looking at the independence and giving that specific notion in terms of, listen, stick to the tried and tested recipe in terms of the long-term partnership engagement. And obviously it gives that the psychological, I keep forgetting some of the psychological terminologies, but it sort of like has that reinforcing mechanism to it, to say, listen, this is what you can expect, and ultimately it gives that reinforcement going back. Just to let you know, dear listeners, the moment, you know, if you don't take the opportunity, obviously, to ask your questions, Dwight will be running around with his own particular questions. But if we factor into now, still staying on the client focus component, I asked the question a little bit earlier, you know, in terms of the last week's listeners' question about, you know, what's the minimum buy-in factor or investment insight that they can look at. If we look at designing solutions or products in line with these particular interests, obviously regarding, like you already explained, you know, when it's performing well, everyone is happy. If even when it's the opposite, we still, you know, there's a direct adjustment associated to it. What does it take basically to achieve the particularly best fit? Now, I asked this particular question because it is open-ended in a way, but we're obviously looking at 2024. Namibia is going to have its election, obviously, at the end of this year. There's obviously still particular developments. We highlighted last week, it's the oil and gas, the hydrogen, all the particular developments taking place in those sectors. So looking at designing a solution or product in line with this, you know, how does it sometimes fit in with noise still happening in the external environment? How's this fit with this client-focused approach?
Yeah, Dwight, products and solutions are very interesting because there's always some theme going on in the world. Was it maybe a year or two ago where people were paying absurd prices for, what was it, NFTs?
I was hoping you would not mention that.
So there are these crazes, these fads, and, you know, even...
on that, crazes and fads, sorry for that, Etienne, no, but we'll be back. I'll keep you on that, crazes and fads. We'll be back after the short break.
There's a song that goes, money can't buy me love. And that's true. But then they told us all you need is love, which anybody with a mortgage will tell you most certainly is not true. Love won't pay your parking tickets or your student loan. It's also needy. It requires effort, availability, constant care. But more importantly, love requires time. And while money can't buy you love, it can certainly free up some of your time. Time to spend on the things you love with the people you love. And if you're looking, maybe even time to find the one you love. That's why, after 50 years of investing, we've learned that time is the greatest gift of all. And the good news is, if you invest early, time gives you money. And then money gives you more time to do the things you love. And don't you love that about investing? Allan Gray, long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized FSP.
So coming back from the short break right there, dear listeners, and obviously stepping into what is the last quarter, the last 14 minutes, but also you can count it as the last third of an hour, meaning the last 20 minutes. Just where Etienne left off with the crazes and is it crazes?
Yeah. No, Dwight, what I mean, we were talking about, you know, what is the best fit in 2024, you know, in terms of solutions and investment products.
Mm.
And I think what I was trying to say, there's almost always some craze somewhere in the world.
You know, yeah.
Mentioned a couple of years ago, it were these NFTs and people were paying funny prices for electronic art, etc. It's kind of disappeared.
Thank you, Etienne. You're the second person that said it's basically art collection. No one else has attributed the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I mean, that is what they marketed as. Mm. Some of those things are
works of art. Yeah.
There were people that made some money. My point is, if you try and cater as an investment company for all these crazes that appear and disappear, you are going to be building products and also taking products off the market continuously.
Mm.
During the 2000s or around about the year 2000, there was what was known as the dot-com bubble.
Yeah.
And all these technology companies, these IT companies were doing extremely well, and the share prices ran, and people were willing to pay extremely high prices for the shares of these companies.
Mm.
Alan Gray, as an investment firm, decided not to participate and not to buy these companies on behalf of our clients. And then for a long time, we were questioned, we were put literally on the red carpet by our clients to say, please explain, Alan Gray, the markets are running, or the sector, the IT sector is running, but you have no exposure to these companies that are performing so well.
Mm.
And for us, the price that you pay for a company is probably the biggest determinant of whether or not you're going to make a profit for your clients in the future. Nonetheless, we stuck to our guns and said, we believe that this particular sector is way too expensive.
Mm.
We cannot with a clear conscience take our clients' money and invest it in those companies. What eventually happened, and I must also add, it's very painful. We've lost quite a lot of clients because of not being invested in that particular sector.
Mm.
But we persisted because we believed that that was the right thing to do. What happened was the bubble burst,
yeah.
Right? And you never know when the hype is over. And those, you know, many of those companies went bankrupt. Many of those companies, the share prices.
And many people forget, sorry for that, Etienne, many people forget that it's only eBay and Amazon that were the only survivors technically.
You know, the 1 in 2000 was more specifically companies like, the sector that IBM played in.
Yeah.
But you're right that a very few survived. Then all of a sudden, Alan Gray's performance was, you know, something phenomenal.
Mm.
And people said, what did you know that the rest of the world, you know, did not know?
Mm.
And we've done very well. We came out of the crisis, but unfortunately, a lot of our clients decided, you know, to leave us. I think the point that I'm trying to make is there will always be something that investors want.
Mm.
And what we are saying is not, you know, necessarily to stay away, but I think one would find that the fundamentals are what count.
Mm.
You know, so if you can buy a good quality company with a good product and good management, if you can invest in companies like that, and you buy the shares at a good price, it would likely, you know, make a profit for your clients going forward.
Yeah.
So we are not thematic. I think this is the point I wanted to make. We are not thematic investors. We're not saying that we expect, artificial intelligence to do well over the next 10 years. And for that reason, we are going to create the Alan Gray AI Fund.
Mm.
We are not like that. Within our existing product offering, in the existing investment funds that we have, sure, we would have, you know, exposure to some of that. We also like to look at the periphery. If you consider a company like Apple,
mm.
that make computers and cell phones, we don't invest in Apple because we think the share price is quite expensive. But we look at what are the other companies around Apple that are involved with Apple?
Mm.
And one good example like that is a company called Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company that produces the microchips that goes into all Apple products.
Mm.
Now, this is a company that's been part of our investment portfolio. So if you invest into an Allen Gray unit trust, you will have exposure to that share. And this is a company that make the microchips for Apple, and their share price is trading at a much more, affordable price in terms of value. And for that reason, we are very comfortable to have Taiwan Semiconductor in our portfolios for our clients as opposed to having Apple.
Yeah.
The more Apple sells, the more microchips are manufactured. I think you see where I'm.
Yeah, and obviously it still gets, product still gets seen out there.
Absolutely. And there are many companies like that. So yes, what is the good fit for 2024? Probably exactly the same as what the good fit was in 2014 or 2004. As long as you look for that quality of companies and you invest in that. The other thing is, well, through the cycle, just going back onto last week's topic of longevity and having this long-term focus, time is your friend, right? And if you would have heard during the breaks in the advertisement that was played, that time will make you money, and that money will buy you more time to do the things that you like.
We have to reiterate that again, specifically, because obviously last week you mentioned, don't try and remember that you made the investment and try and access it again. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, and it depends. That's why you should have, different pots in which you invest, different strategies. Some might be short term for a holiday in 2 or 3 years' time. Others might be, for retirement. Whatever the case might be, time is your friend. And at Allen Gray, you're certainly not going to find a new investment portfolio popping up every now and then. We're very comfortable. We think that our offering that we have would cater to the majority of investors out there and some truly remarkable companies that we invest in on your behalf.
Still staying on the solutions and best fits for a client specifically. Because I'm getting a little bit excited here, Etienne. I wanted to ask, is there an opportunity if I say I bring my 500 or 1,000 that I can potentially also buy into any international technology, company or aspect like that? Is there a possibility out of Namibia?
Dwight, there is within our unit trusts. So just maybe taking one step back, what is a unit trust? It's an investment portfolio that consists of different types of assets, shares, bonds, cash, typically, or you can get a unit trust that only invests in shares. But if I consider the ones that we have in Namibia, you would find some offshore exposure within that investment, within that unit trust. So roughly 35% of the fund is invested overseas. And that is invested in a range of different companies, from healthcare to financials and also technology companies.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Taiwan Semiconductor. So maybe just a little bit of financial literacy here. If you want very specific, if there are certain shares that you very specifically want, you could consider a share portfolio. In that case, a stockbroker would be the right place to go to and say, here's my $500, please buy me Apple shares. But through a unit trust, that is what you pay Allen Gray for. We make the investment decisions. We try and find the best investment sort of opportunities out there on behalf of our clients. We package it in this structure called the unit trust, and that's where you can invest. But rest assured that there are definitely technology companies.
We started on the NFT, and I am a sort of like a big I'm a critic of the NFT discussion, as well as also with the cryptocurrencies. I know because in Namibia, people have been asking the question, how can we access it? And obviously, there's the opposites of these digital technologies because you get like the physical technologies, mm-hmm. the things that you can feel and touch. And obviously, that's the reason why the solutions and fit discussion based upon 2024, people have a lot of craze for tech developments. I know there's a lot of developments happening in the game markets. I'm asking because of the gaming, because there's a lot of developments happening in the US. And, you know, obviously, it's an interesting thing sometimes to know. Obviously, with Microsoft buying Blizzard Activision, for anyone that's a Call of Duty fan, just know that you will now find it through your your favorite Microsoft PC. But even in that scenario, as the last 4 minutes that we still have, when we look at the tech sector specifically in from a Namibian perspective, is there an opportunity for Namibian clients also to try and look further into this? Because it's not something we're used to. We're only used to being a consumer of the physical thing, but not being someone that can say we want to invest in something like that.
Hmm. So, Dwight, what you're asking me to invest specifically
in the tech sector?
And this is the tech sector globally.
Yeah.
Again, you know, it is, you will find elements of that. I mean, you mentioned gaming. Nintendo is one of the shares that we hold in our unit trust funds.
Wow.
And
I'm actually impressed right now.
So you will find the Nintendo.
If you mentioned this last week, Ed, yeah.
And you could also find other interesting companies like Disney.
Mm.
You know,
which is entertainment technology.
Correct.
Yeah.
So there are elements of that. As, again, if you specifically want, that technology sector, there are also investment vehicles that one can invest in. There are funds, portfolios that specifically track a sector or an index. So you can say, I want to invest in something that tracks the NASDAQ index. So this is a securities exchange in America where all the largest technology companies are listed. You know, call it a stock exchange for technology companies. So there are ways to invest in that, not through Allen Gray, but then you should also not only invest with Allen Gray. As one of the main sort of fundamentals of investing is to diversify.
Exactly, well. Exactly. And which is the major theme, even since last week, dear listeners, diversification obviously does mean that not all eggs are in one basket, although it is a basket, technically. But yeah, the eggs all have different designs to them. Dear listeners, just let you know that unfortunately, we are a minute out from ending on tonight's discussion here on the business and economic segment. Specifically also to let you know that if you are still asking a question and you would still like to, you know, still share it somewhere, the SMS platform is there at 1040. Do remember that standard rates apply. Secondly, you can still ask it. We'll still, you know, archive it and keep it for next week when we can ask the question again to Etienne. But that's obviously also in terms of, you know, specifically whether the question was still aligned to today or the previous episode, last week's episode on longevity or long-term. And on that particular note, dear listeners, yeah, we literally have come to the end. Etienne, I'd like to thank you once again for taking the time and the insightful discussions that we've had so far. This is episode 2. There's still a bunch to come, guys. Don't worry. And on that note, thank you once again, Etienne.
Thank you very much, Dwight.
We're quickly stepping into a short break, dear listeners. After the break, we will cross over.
Life's all about making real moments. So here's to you for being 100% real. From having conversations on the stoop to the early hours of the morning, to taking pictures for memories, not mentions, to chilling at home with the chummies and saying, of course, they can bring their friend of a friend of a friend. Here's to making everyday moments better by keeping it 100% real. Vintook, real beer for real people, not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
This brings us to the end, dear listeners, of the Business and Economics segment. Let's see each other again, same time, same place next week here on your number one talk radio station. This is the BES in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia.
This program was proudly brought to you by Alan Gray, building long-term wealth for our clients since 1973.